Hello, is that Huey Green?
Yes.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on, lads, it is Huey Green. Keep it down. I don't know how to put this. I'm in the Black Ball in York. And someone's written on a bog wall, if you want Huey Green's number, it's 01. Phone him and tell him he's a because he never let me on opportunity knocked. Signed, Tracy the Midget. Are you really Huey Green?
No. Who are you?
You just said you was Mr. Green.
Who are you talking to?
We got your number on the wall. Someone's put your number...
Well, f*** off, because that's no Mr. Green here.
Yeah, but you...
And don't f***ing bother us again.
You said you was him.
F*** off.
Don't talk to me like that. It can't have been Huey Green, boys. You use bad language. This week I find myself away from my flat watching the electric television system.
This is BBC One bringing you more sh**. Now, Crime Watch UK, fronted by some rather attractive policewomen in uniform who can't read a script properly, and Nick Ross, a smug, self-satisfied defender of the nation's morals, who frankly seems to me to be a Boy Scout who's never grown up.
Hello, hello, and welcome to an hour of rape, murder, sex, and violence, which we pretend is for the public good, but we all know is really entertainment. This week, we're featuring a particularly nasty attempted crime at a high street bank. Fortunately, the bank had installed hidden TV cameras, so we've caught every detail of the crime. Blah, 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 blah.
I have been told by those in the know that I am simply too damned attractive to get into television. However, realising that Crime Watch UK broadcasts a regular hidden camera slot to a prime-time audience of millions, I make a dramatic attempt to strut my stuff by robbing a bank.
As I said, a particularly nasty crime which, as I said, has been caught, as I said, on camera. So, as you watch this, please ask yourself, do you recognise this man?
Right, this is a kin hold-up. All of you hit the kin floor.
Oh, God.
Right, you.
Oh, no, don't. Here's the money, don't shoot.
I don't want the kin money. Where's the kin camera? I know the kin thing's hidden here somewhere.
It's up there in the ceiling. Look, you can see the light flashing.
Right,
look.
This is Tribbly. E kin flat, please.
On the good shit, a lollipop.
I would be the first to admit that an armed robbery is not the most perfect means of exposing my raw talent on national TV. Some might suggest that Opportunity Knocks is more suitable.
Indeed, it's great being back on your wonderful robbery.
But frankly, in my books, Opportunity Knocks is an even greater crime.
Yeah, happy landing on a chocolate bar.
Oh. Well, I'm sure that disgusts you as much as it disgusts me. Or that disgusts me a lot more than it disgusts you because I'm a little bit more sensitive. As well as this videotape, there were two witnesses who saw the man escape after four encores and a standing ovation. Sue spoke to them earlier. Sue.
Thank you, Nick. I have two gentlemen in front of me. What colour was the getaway car?
It was bright yellow. It was green. Yellow. It was green. It was yellow. It was green.
I make my escape from the bank in a special getaway car, driven by Mrs. Tribbly. It's painted green down one side and yellow down the other. The most enjoyable part of the whole escapade is tuning into the next edition of Crime Watch and hearing the witnesses contradict each other.
Sure, clearly, I escaped in a green car.
It was bright yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green.
Yellow.
Green.
Yellow.
Green.
Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green. Yellow.
Green.
Yellow. What utter, utter build. It's coming off now.
As I return to my luxury York penthouse flat, I pass my neighbour Dr. Dreyfus, Britain's only one-fingered gynaecologist, in the car park. He's kneeling down next to his car, performing a circumcision on it by cutting off half an inch from the exhaust pipe. When it comes to cars, he's not to be trusted. Only a week ago, I let him borrow my car, and he lanced it. To be fair, it was a green Passat.
Well, I tell you what, that's a real circular saw, that is. That does the job, that cuts right through. Hello, Mr. Dreyfus!
Dr. Dreyfus, FRCS bar, FRCP, GGSM, and cycling proficiency test, grade 4, failed already.
Dr. Dreyfus, I have to say that's the first time I've ever seen a kosher larder.
So you should see my wife's. Matzahs, we got bagels, got cream.
You misunderstand me for comic effect.
So ask me what sort of day I've had.
What sort of day have you had?
Don't ask. So this morning I decide to walk along the riverbank, such a business. I see some schmuck drowning in the river. Haven't our people suffered enough, oy vey? Such a business.
You are being very Jewish this week, Dr. Dreyfus.
Don't give me with no drowning, so I drag him out and lay him on the ground. A big shot, several row suit, slick tie, Pierre Caron, shoes already, nice matter. So he starts to come too, and I say to him, listen, I'm going to give you artificial respiration. Never he splutters. I want real respiration or nothing. I shot him.
Was he all right?
Was he all right? Was he all right? Was he all right?
Was he all right?
He was all right, but he looks at me and says, you're a Hebe, you're a Jew. So I said to him, what we Jews ever do to you? He replies, my grandfather was killed by the Jew who sank the Titanic.
But surely the Titanic was sunk by an iceberg, Dr. Dreyfus.
So that's what I said already. You know what he said? Iceberg, Goldberg, what's the difference? Schmifferens difference.
Oh, outrageous. Still, you've got to see the funny side, Dr. Dreyfus. Anyway, how are things going at the clinic? Busy day at the orifice?
Don't ask. Today, so Mrs. Finkelstein walks into my consulting room. So soon, no appointment, bald as brass. Dr. Dreyfus, I want you to fit this, no delay. You know what she gives me?
Does she give you a diaphragm made out of solid gold?
How could you know? She gives me a diaphragm made out of solid gold studded with diamondices. Rubies, emeralds worth at least $500,000 that such suffering our nation has we will never forget.
Why on earth did she want to be fitted with such an expensive interuterine device?
So I asked the same question, Mr. Finkelstein. He gave me a gold diamond interuterine device, she says. It's a gift from him. All his life he's dreamed of coming into money.
Coming into money?
Coming into money.
Oh, bless her. Anyway, go wah-wah, Dr. Dreyfus.
Wah-wah, Dr. Dreyfus. Have we finished?
Well, I suppose so, yeah.
Can I come out of character?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Good. Switch off the sound effects and take off the music as well. I can't stand doing this part. I really can't.
Well, you can't do the Jewish accent, can you?
The Jewish accent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, try saying the K. Sodik.
Sodik.
Yeah, Sodik.
You crap.
I know.
After listening to Dr. Dreyfus's distasteful story, I have a sudden urge to go for a tramp in other woods.
Right, I'm in the woods. I'm in the woods, and there's a tramp. Oh, I could go for him.
Excuse me, Mr. Tramp.
No.
Fit?
No, thanks. I'm just that one. What?
Yeah, well, never mind about that. Get your clothes off.
Be mine tonight.
Sex. My motto is, if you can't get a woman, get a grateful old man. Preferably without teeth.
My loins are aflame. Take me now, be masterful.
But that you've got nits and fleas.
It's all lice. Oh, lice, I tell you. All I am is a gay tramp with a cold.
A gay tramp with a cold? There's a word for people like you.
Yeah. Homosexual. Think about it.
Okay, I've thought about it.
Eh?
It's still a Pixwheel joke. It's the responsibility of my co-writer, Mr. Sparks. He thieves third-rate jokes from Christmas crackers. I'll telephone later and give him a good racking.
Well, how about that, sir? But while you was distracted, I committed an honest practice upon your tradesman's entrance. I suggest that since I'm infested with small insects, that you pop down to the laundry and wash your underwear, all right? First thing I put eyes into you while you was just talking.
Why, my good fellow with nits, do you say that?
Because my sole function in my brief fictional life is to link you seamlessly into the next scene, which is a set in a laundryette.
How perspicacious of you, and glancing down at the revolving reel of tape, I'd say it's coming up in about 8 inches' time.
Oh, well,
hold on, don't make a double entendre.
Hello, shop.
Hello.
Hello. I wonder, could you do a service wash on my smalls, please?
Oh, no, not too. Dotted in. We were nearly closed down by the elf the last time we kept your undercrackers here for an hour.
Oh, you're not cleaned down the front and round the back. You're not.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, do it yourself.
Yeah, do it yourself.
Very savoury, I must say. Oh, all right, well, I'll do it. But is there a sarcastic washing machine free at the moment?
Sarcastic washing machine? What do you mean, sarcastic washing machine?
Sorry, I should explain. I need a sarcastic washing machine to take the piss out of my boxer shorts.
Oh, I tell you what, people like you should be a bit frightened of that giblets.
No, giblets?
Try that machine over there. It's got six black gentlemen in it at the moment having a bio pre-wash.
Six black?
Yeah.
Oh, I know who that'll be. It'll be my resident popular singing group, Take Six. I shall just open the front and lean in.
Where are they? Where are they?
Hello, boys!
Stuff it, man.
Oh, dear. You lot seem very downhearted. Is it something I've said?
Yeah. We stick to the teeth of your jabs every week,
that's
man.
Right.
Yeah.
We
want to X you, man.
How quaint. The way you New York cats say axe instead of ask. What do you want to ask me?
We don't mean ask, man. We mean axe.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's no need for violence. Anyway, look, I promise, if you please sing for us this week, I promise there'll be no put-downs. Please sing.
Okay.
Okay, what are you going to sing for us then, boys?
We're going to sing Brazilian Wedding
Song. Yeah, Brazilian
Wedding Song. Oh, I like that one. It starts like this, doesn't it? Beep, 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 beep.
Thank you.
good, I'm going to double your fee.
Hey, man, that's cool. Yes.
Yeah. Instead of the BBC giving you £100 every week, I am personally going to make sure that you get £100 every 2 weeks. All right, well, listen, tell me, before I put you into rinse, surely a group of superstars like you must have insured your voices against damage.
Yeah, we each insured our voices for $1 million against damage. Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. What did you do with all the money? Right, now you're the spin cycle with a lot of your crap.
We present Victor Louis Smith's great fallacies of today.
Victor Louis Smith's fallacies of today.
Number one, cancer is not a word to be afraid of these days.
I don't like being in hospital. I don't like being on a drip, and I don't like the sound of it. Barium meal, chemotherapy, all the pain I'm in. Consultant said it was probably cancer.
Oh shit.
No, you'll be alright.
Yeah.
Cancer's nothing these days.
Yeah, you'll be right as rain in a few days.
Yeah, they'll have you out of here in a week.
Well, yeah, you'll look back on this and laugh. You will, yeah.
Yes.
Cancer and all.
Nah, don't worry. Cancer's not a word to be afraid of these days.
That's right.
You're right.
Yeah.
If you caught it early, yeah. I'm going to lick the big C.
Yeah.
Cancer isn't a word to be afraid of these days is a phrase often heard in hospitals where it is uttered by healthily robust suntan visitors at the bedside of some emaciated spavined wretch of a relative. It is of course true that cancer, as a word, is nothing to be afraid of. However, cancer is a creeping tumorous disorder of the lymphatic system, which has wiped out over a third of the world's population over the past couple of decades, is something to be very afraid of indeed, and let nobody tell you otherwise. Amusingly enough, only one person in the hospital scene really believed that cancer isn't a word to be afraid of these days, and he was the one who had it. Still, you have to see the funny side.
Commit his soul to the grind. Ashes to ashes. Oh,
poor sod.
Funk to funk here.
Poor bugger,
eh? No major tongs.
Oh. I said he'd be out of that hospital within a week.
Yeah, well, he was, wasn't he? In a box.
I think he really believed us when we said that cancer wasn't worth to be afraid of.
Yeah, pathetic, really, isn't
still,
it?
Still, service is nearly over. Let's go back to his house, rummage through his things.
Yeah, he owes us a good laugh, doesn't
he? Yeah. You can have his wife.
Oh, I'll have her.
Fallacy.
That's all for now, but tune in for next week's great fallacy of today, where we'll be asking, can you really save yourself from death in a free-falling elevator by jumping out just before the lift hits the ground? And why is it, if the BBC is an equal opportunities employer, that the only black people you ever see in broadcasting house are the ones clearing away plates and emptying rubbish bins?
Fallacy.
Good morning, Travel. How may I help you?
Oh, hello. Yes, I understand you're about the best as far as travel's concerned.
We're the best as far as travel's concerned.
Well, I've got £2,000 to spend on a holiday.
Oh, that's nice.
And, well, you
I
know...
I wish I had.
Well, it was a death.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, that's not so nice. Yeah.
I had a bit of a nightmare, really, last year on the Greek islands. And I stayed for 2 weeks in Coet. And it wasn't built. So I wonder, do you do tours to the River Styx?
The where, sorry?
The River Styx, near Hades.
I'd have to find out for you, I'd have to have a good look.
Right, okay. Well, what I want is the River Styx to Hades.
Just a minute.
It sounds as if you've got a bit of a cold.
Oh, it's nearly gone. I just sound dreadful. I haven't actually got a very bad cold, it's just my voice. I get it every couple of months, my voice goes.
Yeah, it's a bit like phoning a travel agent with a cold. I have to say, it's a bit like phoning like a knee surgeon without legs. Do you know what I mean? I don't really. I get these pains in the head.
Right.
Do you get something hot inside you? I don't want to go anywhere near Thanatos because that's near Hades and it's death. I'm not interested in that. It's all around. Do you know Atlantis?
Yeah.
Atlantis has sunk as well. I don't want to go to Limbo either.
Not Limbo.
That's all. You know where they do that dancing?
Yes. Where was the other place you said you didn't want to go?
No, nowhere else. I think, I'm wide open. My wife and I would like to, perhaps explore the nether regions.
Smashing. Okie dokie, what date do you want to go? June, July?
June
would be lovely. Well, I shall try and find out something for you.
Right.
And get on to you.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry to hear that. do you fly to Fuckit?
We might do. From where?
From... Where is it? From...
Manchester?
That would do.
Let me just have a look.
P-H-U-C-K-E-T.
With a P.
Yeah. Fuck it with a P.
Fukuoka.
I beg your pardon? Fukuoka?
Yeah. That's Japan, is Fukuoka.
Oh, I bet it is. It's in Indonesia. I think it's spelled P-H-U-C-K-E-T. Fuck it.
Phuket.
Oh, is it? Sounds like somebody's, like, a baby being sick. Sounds even worse, that, doesn't it? I must say, talking of all this sea and sun makes me want to break into a song. Thanks, then.
Okay, thanks. See you later. Bye.
Sup with camel built in 33. Oh, when I asked if I could use the toilet, they pointed at the wing and they said to me, it's an outside lavatory.
Your captain speaking. Welcome to Economy Airline, the choice of the discerning traveller who puts cheap fares above birth and safety. We guarantee the lowest possible prices to all destinations by dispensing with what we call frills and extras, little unnecessary things like maintenance, oxygen masks, life jackets, and indeed, doors.
We're flying tourist class from Gatwick. The food is crap and there's no room. My neighbour's name is Abel Nidal. He says the plane is called the Flight of Doom. When we landed at Singapore Airport, a nice man who I met on the flight said, will you please take this talcum powder through customs? Now they're hanging me tonight. Still, I managed to get some duty-free fags. That's the finish of my summer holiday. It has ended with a rope around my neck. A prison guard is gonna pull that lever and I'm gonna...
Being two-thirds of the way through this week's programme, I become erect for food and decide to venture out of my flat in pursuit of sustenance. Usually I visit my local Italian restaurant, but after a recent mishap, I vowed never to go there again. The waiter spilled a portion of minestrone into my lap, and when I complained, all he could say was, never mind, signore, at least now you have a soup in your fly.
A soup in your fly.
Good evening, Mr. Lao-Tzu.
Oh, good evening, Crap-Arterial.
Yes. Crap links or not, I decide to visit the fine Oriental Emporium, the Wang King Chinese takeaway run by the eminent Taoist philosopher and short-order chef, Mr. Lao-Tzu.
What you can offer. And why, Mr. Lao-Tzu? I see you've bought yourself a canary in a cage.
Oh, hi, Chinese. His name is Onan, you know?
His name is Onan? Why on earth do you call him that?
You know, because I spilled seed on the ground. You're not a spot.
Call him Onan because he spills his seed on the ground?
Oh,
Mr. Lao-Tzu, yet again, you have me in a theological Art Nelson with your highfalutin mystical talk.
Oh, don't about that. You'll tell me a funny thing, you're not.
Forget about that. You'll tell me a funny thing, yes.
Oh, you've got a dentist.
Well, when you go to the dentist, yes.
I said, no, it's all lie down into a chair.
He says nothing except lie down in the chair, yes.
Oh, that's stuff I've got a lot in your mouth and inject you with
alcohol. And then he silently stuffs cotton wool into your mouth and injects you with anaesthetic, yes.
Oh, then it's not a thing. You'll tip on your hat and mouth and he starts asking your whole family.
And he starts drilling into your teeth with his hand in your mouth and only then does he start asking you how are the family. Oh. You're absolutely right, Mr. Lao-Tzu. Incidentally, my dentist comes from Marseille. Oh. He's of French extraction. Oh. Another one of Mr. Sparks, but I digress.
Oh, more crap, shut your mouth, I'll tell you another funny thing.
Shut your mouth, you'll tell me another funny thing, yes.
Government got a monopoly commission.
There's a government group called the Monopolist Commission, yes.
Oh, but why is there only one monopoly commission?
But why is there only one Monopolist Commission? Oh. I've never thought of that before, Mr. Lao-Tzu. Oh. Well, I certainly know where to come each week for a thorough no-nonsense session of cerebral aerobics. It is true what they're saying about you in hushed tones, the length and breadth of the Wigington Road. Truly, you are the Jane Fonda of the philosophical workout.
Oh, thank you for doing what I'm saying.
And what's more, you always treat me like a god when I come in here.
Well, you might have treated a lot of god, you know.
What do I mean, you treat me like a god? Oh. Well, every time I come in here, you give me a sodding burnt offering.
You're the fool. You'll pay for it.
Our name is Clannad.
Our name is Clannad, and we sing pretentious songs in Gaelic. They're mortal and not at all chromatic.
Not at all chromatic. This breathy style.
This breathy style
is not by choice.
Because the truth is,
the truth is,
mercy.
Oh. Need it all? Well, we've all had a few laughs, but 12th me, and make no mistake, he goes a bit close to the bone for my taste. He does strike a light comedy's changes by day, lord to lord it has. Ha! Cool, blimey, my day, comedy to us was down to earth. We'd give some baby a razor blade to chew, we would, and we'd laugh about it all night. Well, that's progress. That's a you from today, I suppose. Still, mark you, the police hasn't changed, and you're always there when you need us. You see, my name is Sergeant Dixon of the Metro Police, around your way. A guard in the community, keeping the peace, around your way. Well, me and Sergeant Brown have 20 pints of beer, and then we go and knock the shit out of some blacks and a queer. And if you got no objections, we'll rearrange your ears around your way.
And God bless the British Bobby, say I. That was Victor Lewis Smith, written by Paul Sparks and Victor Lewis Smith. Victor Lewis Smith supplied the voices, wrote the music, and produced the programme. And the BBC would like to remind listeners that it is the patriotic duty of every Englishman to do his bit to help our brave boys in blue. So on the count of three, why not join me in a dose of good, honest coppering? One, two, three. Off you go.
Get it, lads. Get it.
Put a tight wine on.